Hi, dear movie breakers. Here I am at Locarno Film Festival with the next interview, this time to the competition movie by Ben Rivers, Mare's Nest. Hi, Ben. He's here now with me.
Hello.
It's your second year in the competition at Locarno. Last year you had Bogenklok.
Bogenklok.
I always wondered, how do you pronounce that title? That was last year. This time, if we look at those two films, Mare's Nest and Bogenklok, they're so contrary, because Bogenklok is a story about an old man. It's in black and white. Now we have a little girl in a color film, and it's a kind of, one could say, dystopian story. Then she's in a world that's only filled with children. All the adults seem to have disappeared. Tell us about the inspiration.
I mean, they are different. They're very formally different. Obviously, as you say, they're about very different characters. But I think there's something essentially at the center of them, which also connects them, which is about a kind of anarchy. You know, about thinking about how to live outside of the systems that we are stuck in as human beings, which is essentially kind of capitalist, which is all about stuff and all about control. You know, there is that connecting tissue between them, but yeah, they're very different stories, very different films. I don't know, just thinking about the mess of the world and what the world will look like that the children are going to inherit, you know, and which is not, it's not looking good, but not wanting to create the sort of standard dystopia of violence and death and conflict and, you know, all these kind of tropes that we see in TV shows and films about kind of post-apocalypse. Collapse, you know. I wanted to make something that was actually more like a proposition for the beginnings of something else. Like, it's not an answer. It doesn't really matter to me, like, why these kids are on their own, like, what's happened to the adults. The adults are just gone. Goodbye. They've done enough mess. And I'm, you know, disturbed by that as an adult myself, like the situation of the world. So, like, what happens if these kids are just on their own and there's Moon and she's just traveling through this world and she's coming across other kids and they're just like living together or living on their own and they're just like figuring things out. And there is, you know, deliberately no conflict. I mean, most films and most script writing classes and most funding bodies tell you you need conflict in your film. You know, it's such a standard thing. And I wanted to do the opposite of that and not have conflict. And it to be about, yeah, it's a disturbing world. It's somewhat dystopian, but there's also kind of hope in it, you know? Like, it's about trying to reinvent and rethink, because I think we need to try to, you know, just sort of think beyond the systems that we're stuck in.
So do you see it actually as an utopia, maybe?
Yeah, I see it as more of a utopia, because it's also, it's in no way, it's not meant to be coming of age, or it's not about relationship between children and adults. It's like, these kids are having, you know, they're treated with respect, they're intelligent, and they have the possibility to create a utopia or not. I mean, we don't know. I certainly also didn't want to make a film which was kind of totally utopian and just like, oh, here's a bunch of kids just having a good time. There needed to be like unease. It also needs to be somewhere in a balance of like uncertainty and unknowing, but also with the possibility of something good.
The film is based on a play that's called A Word for Snow. How close is it actually to the play?
It's sort of semi-based on The Word for Snow, because that is just one section of the film, which is quite clearly, that section is called The Word for Snow. The play is completely faithful, you know, word for word. The 3 9-year-old girls perform the play exactly as Don DeLillo wrote it. And he didn't, and in the play, there's nothing else either side of it. It's really just that scene in the hut. I decided to have them perform the play very faithfully and then just kind of imagine her journey before and after. It forms a kind of center point where they're talking about the things which seem important to talk about, you know, about extinction, language becoming like, you know, the part of the play is about how language replaces the things which disappear, but then also language disappears.
The language and the world, they shape each other.
Exactly. This is why, like, in the sort of second half of the film, language does also disappear. There's like quite a lot of talking in the first half of the film, and then in the second half, people barely talk, you know, and it becomes much more about feeling and about, you know, moon being, and the need to speak becomes less important. You know, it's about more other kinds of communication and relationships. By the end of the film, when she meets this kid who lives in a scrapyard and she wants a car, you know, they don't need to talk anymore. It's just, it's clear. They understand each other.
Apart from Don DeLillo's theater play, were there maybe other literary works that inspired you, such as Lord of the Flies or Michael Ende's Momo? The second one, especially since Momo, I don't know if you read it.
I don't know it.
You have to at least read a synopsis, because it's a story about a little girl wandering through ruins in rags with a tortoise.
No.
It is, and I had to think of Momo.
It'll be next on my pile of reading. It's quite a big pile, but no, that's amazing. I love to hear about literature. Literature has been a huge influence on my life and film in general. Even though I don't generally adapt literature, it feeds into my work and my way of thinking, and you know, one of the things I like about literature reading is that you get to imagine a lot, and that's, you know, that's always a problem with film, is that film is so descriptive, you know, you see a lot. With my films, I really try to get some of that literature, the qualities of it, into the films. There's at least some kind of openness for the viewer to be involved in an imaginative way. But for this film, I mean, there was other people that I'd read, other books I'd read. Pessoa, there's a play called The Mariner by Pessoa, which there's three other girls who perform just a small part of the play. Daisy Hildyard, who's a British writer, she wrote a book called Emergency about her childhood. And the monologue at the beginning is, she wrote that monologue, which is the girl explaining the beginnings of life on Earth to a turtle. And yeah, just, you know, I like kind of post-apocalyptic fiction, but I like it when it's interesting. I don't I wanted to really avoid any of the stuff which was more violent and, you know, because I feel like we have enough violence to deal with.
The main actress has the same name as the main character. Mm-hmm. Does she basically play a fictional version of herself, or did you experience her as very different than the figure we see on screen?
No, she's playing very much herself. I mean, I chose her because I know her. I knew her before the film because she's the daughter of friends of mine. No, she's very much herself in a way. She's very intelligent and she has this great energy and she's funny and serious. I wanted her to pretend to be somebody else. She's like moving herself to another world, but she's essentially the same kind of character.
Did you develop the script also while working with her on the film, since she has such a strong influence on that character?
No, I mean, I did write it. So I wrote it with her in mind. So I didn't necessarily need to talk to her, but it really helped me thinking, this is the person. Because I asked her early on if she was interested in doing it, and she said yes. So then I had my person. So, which really helps you write and think, you know, just to picture the whole world. If you can picture the person, you know, I'm sure other directors do it, but they probably pick, you know, famous actors. That's, you know, I'm not so interested in that.
She certainly carries the film very well. And there's a saying, never work with dogs and children, and you work only with children, at least in front of the camera. Of course, there are adults behind the scenes, but in front of the camera, you had a child main character, several other children in significant roles, and then, of course, all the extras. How was that?
It was great. I don't know where that saying comes from. Because
Hitchcock.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, he seemed to have hated kids.
Wow. I mean, I can imagine him not really liking children, but they were amazing to work with. Really inspiring, very open, interested in trying things out, tried to involve them in coming up with ideas, in allowing for improvisation and play, got them involved in making their own costumes and things like that. So the costume designer did a workshop so that the kids could really be involved, even the extras, really be involved in making their own costumes and like adding these kind of plastic adornments and stuff like that. Yeah, a lot of the film was shot in Menorca with the bigger scenes with more children. It was shot in Menorca and the parents as well. I mean, it's a lot of thanks to the parents who really trusted in the project as well and would just drop the kids off at 8 a.m. and leave us to it and then pick them up at, you know, sundown. No, I found that as long as you feed them well and treat them with respect and, you know, try to make it fun. You know, I don't really boss them around. You know, even I had assistants as well, the two people who work with children who helped. They know how to organize children. They bounce off the walls and, you know, they're chaotic. But there are ways, little games, ways to like bring them in, calm them down and say, okay, this is what we're going to do next. Zero problems with any of the children and the adults were okay as well.
Do you spontaneously have memories of any really funny or weird things that happened on set?
Yeah, I mean, almost every day something funny happened. Oh, something weird. It was a real adventure, the whole thing. And I think working with kids does open up that in terms of, you know, there's unpredictability. But I like unpredictability in filmmaking. I don't want to know what's going to happen. The only day, like, for example, you know, thinking about like someone being difficult, the only day that Moon was upset was when we were filming in North Wales and the weather was atrocious. The rain was coming down really hard, the wind, and we were in a really harsh landscape. It was really the only time that she kind of called a stop to the day. We filmed for about 2 hours and then she said, that's it. That's enough. But she was right because it was really hard. And she said she wanted pizza and we had pizza.
And another essential aspect of this film is, of course, the setting and the scenery. It seems very tranquil. We don't see any corpses or any signs of violence. Actually, we see no indication what happened to them whatsoever. How did that idea of just taking this element of adults out came to you? And how did you find the settings? Did you create them?
I mean, the idea came pretty early. Just like how I just wanted to make a film that just had the energy of kids and that there was no, I didn't want any relation to adults. You know, so many films with children end up being about some kind of relation between the child world and the adult world or coming of age, like moving towards adulthood. And I just wanted to like get rid of all of that stuff and to just be in this world. I just thought it'd be interesting and I didn't feel like I'd seen it. You know, the only time I've seen films with all children, it tends to be a bit of a joke, Bugsy Malone or something. I mean, that's not interesting to me, you know, like children pretending to be adults. I suppose Lord of the Flies, in a way, that film and the book did, that influenced me a lot. Actually, as a young, it was one of the first books I read at school that really hit me, you know, but in a way, with this film, I wanted it to be almost the opposite of Lord of the Flies.
Because that would be another interesting point, the question if children can actually turn around the systems, because most stories that depict worlds where there are only children show them acting violently and either being more or less little adults, like in Lord of the Flies, which is of course also about this boarding school system and military school system, or things like Stephen King's Children of the Corn, which is about religious cults. Mm-hmm. So children being very scary and cruel.
Yeah, which of course they can be, you know, they are young humans. But I just wanted to imagine for 98 minutes a world where we can just think that maybe that won't be the case with these kids, you know, that they're not just aping what's come before in this kind of never-ending circle of violence and conflict, that somehow they've broken free of that and they're getting along. And it's hopeful in that sense and maybe a total fantasy.
How does it feel to be back at Locarno and having your film here?
I love coming back here. I mean, it feels a bit like my home because this is my seventh feature now and I think five of them have premiered here. So I feel very welcome here and it's always a really nice start because premieres are quite stressful. You know, putting a film out into the world for the first time, it's a lot of feelings.
Now that you have made those two films right after each other that are so different, what's your next work? Do you already have something?
I do. The next film, hopefully, if all works out, will be in the Colombian Amazon. And it will be very different again.
We certainly will stay tuned. If Mare's Nest gets a German release, which it certainly will, you read about it at Movie Break. I say thank you so much to director Ben Rivers. Thank you.